Sports Central.
Cricket. Time to talk some cricket, and ahead of the start of the Chappell Hadley Trophy Series, which gets underway at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Can you believe that? Adam Dale, former Australian opening bowler and at Test level and international one-day level, is on the line. G'day, Adam. How are you, mate?
Kev, fantastic on this beautiful Sunday afternoon.
I was only saying before what a beautiful, perfect day this would be to be playing cricket in your heyday. Little wind around, lovely seeing day, with nice day to bowl, nice day to bat.
It would be, and the heyday are the two key words there. When you get over 40, you'd probably just enjoy having a beer. But no, definitely, and certainly it comes around quickly, the Chappell Hadley Trophy, and with the Aussies tomorrow, as you mentioned, 8 o'clock our time, at Eden Park, it's going to be a tester because we've got some new faces and some guys being rested, so there's lots to talk about.
Eden Park, little tiny weeny little postage stamp of a ground, I believe.
It is. It's like going back to school days where you played in that tiny little oval. There's one boundary that's about 10 metres from the 30-metre line. I remember being there in the late 90s, and Nathan Astle and those guys were banging us back over our heads. It can be quite daunting. Good crowd, very parochial. The New Zealanders, of course, and when they get a chance to play the Aussies, it's amazing. When you travel over the world, you see a New Zealander's like your brothers. But when you're playing sport against them, you couldn't be any more fierce in opposition. So Eden Park's their hunting ground, and they'll look to stamp their authority on the series there.
Adam, I heard someone, I honestly can't remember who it was, said now that it's not a ground that's actually well known for big scores. Is that right?
It's funny that. I reckon over the journey there'd be a mixed, because people's eyes light up when they do see the small grounds. Over the journey, there has been some big totals made, but I would also say to counteract that would be there'd be times where low scores have been made because it's just got the better of teams. The wicket usually plays low and slow, Kev, so that also plays a role. New ball wicket, so the openers like Finch and Co will be looking to go hard, but as the ball gets a bit softer and a bit older, it can certainly make it a bit harder to score.
Actually, you just brought up the first discussion point, I imagine, for the selectors would be who is going to open the batting. Will it be Finch and maybe Travis Head?
You're right, Head's done nothing wrong to help his causes with his last display. And Finch, averaging 7.5 against the Kiwis, so not going in with a lot of form. Though he's an experienced campaigner. He'll be looking to improve on those numbers, and he wants to put his name back up in lights, no doubt, as any player would, so he's got something to prove. He just needs to make sure he doesn't go too hard too early, because on those conditions, and the Kiwis have got some good bowlers, and they've got some smart, intelligent cricketers. So they'll have plans. There's a bit of a he's got something to prove in these games.
Do you reckon that's why he didn't get the captaincy, given he's been the T20 captain? And when Smith and Warner and Khawaja, I guess as well, all pull out of the team to go to India or get taken out of the team to go to New Zealand because of the Indian trip or because of injury, you reckon that's why he didn't get the skipper's nod?
Agree, on the money. Matthew Wade, we were only talking recently about, is he the best keeper for Australia? But he's captained Victoria's last two Shield winning teams. He's in a leadership position in a very successful environment. When they sit down and put it on paper, they would say, hey, this is the guy we need or want. But certainly Finch, captain of the T20 side, he lost that over the journey at times. But unfortunately, his form doesn't warrant. And the way that the Australian selectors are traditionally picked is you pick your best 11, then you pick your captain.
Yeah.
Rather than have your best captain, which, say, the Poms have done. You think over the history of time, they've picked their best captain and included him in the team.
Yeah, I must admit, and we talked about this a little bit during the week and yesterday, I'd be filthy if I was a New Zealand cricket supporter and a New Zealand cricket authoritarian person, on their board or whatever, with the three Australians. I know Smith's injured. Warner's not, Khawaja's not, and they're not in New Zealand, and it's, supposedly a meaningful series against them for the Chappell Hadley Trophy, and without those two over there because they're resting them for another tour, I'd be furious.
You wouldn't be happy because they're big-ticket items.
Yeah.
So I imagine the marketers in New Zealand will still be pushing the other Aussies that are playing, which are some big names, but yeah, it's an interesting one. We've obviously got our eyes on Indy with the test matches, and that's why Warner and Khawaja have gone there. Smith's a bit injured. You can't always play that. Maybe we need another underarm, Kev, just to get a bit of spark into the environment. I always remember Alan Border reckons that when Trevor Chappell did that 2 weeks before, because they were going on the return trip over to New Zealand, And before that, there was no tickets had been sold. You know, the marketing team and New Zealand cricket were really worried. But then all of a sudden, he did the underarm. Every ground was sold out. So maybe that's what needs to happen.
Should have made Trevor Chappell the team manager or something. get a bit of a spite. Or tell him that actually we've been fooling them all these years. We're playing for the Trevor Chappell Hadley Trophy, not the Ian Chappell, Greg Chappell Trophy.
I agree. But there's a lot on the line, and two proud cricketing nations that will be going hard at it. No, there'd be no chance for the Aussie boys that are playing or the New Zealand boys to take their foot off the gas, regardless of who's representing them. And it'll be a hard-fought series.
Now, tell us about this young Queenslander who's bobbed into selection for this one-day international side, not out of nowhere, but certainly not out of, top of the whiteboard.
Oh, he's come out of the closet. He's come out somewhere. I don't know where he's popped from, but Sam Hazlett he's from Redlands up in Queensland. I rang Kenny Healy, brother of Ian Healy.
Yeah.
He coaches up there, and he said he's a real good player, good talent. If you read about him, he's been picked through that pathway where Chappell and Hones have had their eye on it. Obviously, Queenslander, so they've seen him firsthand. Made 100 on debut for Queensland in Shield cricket. He's made hundreds when representing Australia A against South Africa, who had, you know, several players that have played for South Africa. Hasn't played a one-day game for Queensland. But is that a case that he hasn't been picked, or is it just the scheduling? He's been injured, and when you think, in the old days, we used to play one days over the whole summer.
Yep.
But if you're unfit during that month of October, you've got no chance of representing your state in one-day cricket. So this kid's been picked from other forms of the game, played a little bit with the Heat, but from all reports, a real talent and someone that they've even got their eye on for Test cricket. So watch this space come 12 months.
Now, is it becoming very apparent that instead of having to have a blue cap to get your baggy green cap, now that colour of the cap you're required to get your baggy green cap has changed to maybe something more of a reddish tinge about it, something with a bit of maroon in it somewhere, are you thinking, Adam?
Hey, not bad. I don't mind that. I wish it was around 20 years ago. But, Kev, they're obviously, what it's an example of, they're going to other buckets of player pool for picking the games. And obviously this playing for Australia A and not playing one-day cricket for your state wouldn't have been heard of some time ago, but now they are. And the way that the world is, a smaller place, they can really ID and pick up on these kids. And, you know, Warner came from outside of the sphere, the traditional pathway, and this young kid's done the same. So from all reports, I'm really confident that he's going to live up to expectation. He might not play a lot, but in regards to having a maroon cap, not a bad point, but certainly, you know, the Vics have got Maxwell, they've got Stoinis, they've got Wade as captain, so every state's getting represented. One thing I like about the selection is they're pretty much most times rewarding performance.
Yeah, they are. And look, I've got absolutely no problem with Renshaw. I think he's long-term future as a opening batsman for this country. I think he's going to be a beauty.
He is. And, you know, I don't know if you were Alan bought a medal when Matty Hayden got up and spoke beautifully. And seeing another tall, strong left-hander open the batting for us, as Matty Elliott did, Hayden did, and Renshaw, you know, he's a player for the future. And I listened to your talk back with Heels the other day about, you know, how it was absurd to think that he was not going to be on that plane to India. This kid's done the right thing. He'll be good for us over there, and hopefully he can develop a part of his game. But it's good to see these young kids coming through. I shouldn't say young kids, young men, after being rewarded for performance.
Adam, what did you take on the BBL? The season's finished now. I mean, great success, terrific viewing. The final was a bit of an anticlimax, but that happens in any sport. Success, and are you happy with the expansion for next year of the extra games?
Makes sense. They've got some questions to answer about the scheduling, because the one-day games seem to be a little bit less important in regards to the Australian part, or didn't have as much atmosphere around them as what the BBL games did. Everyone made excuses to watch the BBL, but made excuse not to watch the one-day games. So ticks all round for the 2020, playing extra games. Don't know, I can't see how it can hurt. Are there going to be other teams, an expansion? We've got a really good product. They've got to really look after it over the next part period. And then Australian cricket has to ensure that they get the scheduling right, because what we also need to be able to see is we want Hazlett and other kids to be able to play one-day cricket so they can get picked for the one-day game for Australia.
Yep.
And then that's the interesting part. We've all of a sudden had no Shield cricket for some time. You know, going to a place like India without any Shield cricket, that's an interesting discussion. So I think the 2020 Channel 10 will be licking their lips, and they'll all be popping a champagne bottle in celebration Channel 9 might be having some discussions, but certainly the scheduling needs to be talked about.
It'll be really interesting next year because the one day is going to be a little more important. We've got the five against the Poms obviously coming up and the Ashes series as well. So the summer of importance in terms of those games will take on a little more than we've got at the moment because clearly we're not rating the New Zealand series very highly. We're not rating the T20 series against Sri Lanka very highly. So, the scheduling is going to be very interesting where they fit those extra games in for the BBL next year.
But they do, and Cricket Australia has to work there, but so does Channel 9. You know, yeah. Channel 10's done a great job. So really, it's going to be good for the couch viewer sitting at home because they're going to have Channel 9 upping their ante to make sure that people are turning off of their station because everyone at the moment is going to Channel 10. So there's going to be, I think it's going to be good all round, and sometimes you need these discussions to get a better outcome. But you're right, you wouldn't have known that there's a 2020 competition coming up and you wouldn't know much about the Hadley-Papple series. So they've got some work to do.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing. What about finding that window where everybody's available, like the IPL does? I don't think that's going to be possible in our summer to find a window where everybody will be available, like the Indians do it with theirs.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to get that one, Kev. The Indians do it so well there.
That's sheer weight of bucks, let's be honest.
Yeah, totally. And that drives. Maybe we've got to go back to a situation where rather than trying to silo or block competitions, we sort of mix and match them throughout the summer. So, you know, one in the one-day side, then in 3 or 4 days we might be watching a 2020 or the start of a test match. I understand all the preparation, but I don't mind the eclectic approach where you're having a mix and match over the summer. I understand why they don't do that, but at the moment it seems to be less interesting for the viewer than what it was 10 years ago when it was a bit more indifferent, but what we do have now is 2020 in the BBL, which we didn't have then.
Hey, a lot of talk at the start of the season about our bowling stocks. Someone who opened the bowling for this country. Where do you think we sit with Stark and Hazelwood and Bird? Cummings is back on the radar. We've seen Pattinson bowling again, which is good news. Are you buoyant about the fact we can have a bowling attack? A really good, strong, and deep bowling attack for the next 3 or 4.
Oh, we can, and it's as good as it's been for a long time. And the way Hazelwood seems to go from strength to strength, Stark continues to bowl well. Cummings, AB mentioned in the press the other day, why isn't he in India? I thought, and you and I even sort of touted maybe he might be a smoky, and they might have an opportunity to bring him in at some point during the series, during the tour. Our bowling stocks are strong, as our leg spinners are Swepson, we've got Zampa, Lyon is the off-spinner, and then we've got, you know, left-armers to take it away from the right-hander as well. So I think our bowling stocks are really strong, Kev. We just need to make sure that our batters can deliver. I think in India, it's going to be the pace bowlers that potentially get us the advantage, as we've done in the past when we have won. But our bowling stocks, yeah, they're all 6'6". They're all giants. They don't bowl 130 like some of us did, Kev. They all bowl plus 140. And Darren Lehman's made that statement that if you're going to open the bowling for Australia, you have to bowl plus 140. Dangerous in some sense because we need blokes to swing the ball in England. And we need to not lose that part of the game. But at the moment, we're going pretty well.
I was going to say, is that where the big gap is? And is that where you could find someone, yourself, Flem, Terry Alderman, whoever it is who, you know, did used to swing the ball, that we need to teach that again to some of the younger kids? Because 140 is okay and all that sort of stuff, but if you can actually do something with the ball, the batsman has to move their feet.
They do, and there's not many bowlers over the journey that bowl plus 140 and swing the ball. Brett Lee might have. He did. But really, as a rule, you're sort of generally bowling 125 to 135 when you're swinging the ball prodigiously and getting those nicks and getting... Because what you want is the batsman coming forward. Do I play a defensive shot? Do I attack? And that's when they get the nick that carries through to the slips. We don't have anyone at the moment that's leading from the front, but they've probably not had the opportunity to when you think of Stark and Hazelwood and other guys are getting the ball in front of them.
Yeah.
The opportunity has to play a role. I think the selectors are smart enough and experienced enough. Come the England tour, you'll find we'll have a swing bowler in that mix to be able to be played at time. But maybe we might not see an Alderman who bowled for a long period of time over many tests. But Terry Alderman bowled pretty fast when he wanted to.
Yeah, he did.
So there hasn't been too many slow, medium paces that have got a regular game for Australia. You've generally got to bowl at a good clip.
Yeah, fair enough. Adam, always good to catch up. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your time.
Hey, thanks, Kev. Good chatting, mate.